This is the time of year when a lot of people engage in what we call spring cleaning. Maybe you've been doing some of that in your house over the past month or two. The weather warms up, and it's time to clean those windows. Get all of that winter junk off the windows and the spring pollen that collects on the windows and the dust and the dirt from the wintertime. Maybe you've got flower beds that have to be cleaned out with last fall's leaves that haven't gotten out like some of mine. And so we get out in the springtime and we do some cleaning. This morning I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the steps that we take to be clean with God. In our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 8, the leper said to Jesus, "You can make me clean if you are willing." I've always found that interesting that a man is telling Jesus what Jesus already knows. But it's this man's way of showing his faith. "You can make me clean." Is that our approach today? Do we need cleaning? There are individuals who will spend a lot of time cleaning their house, and that's great, and we do that at this time of the year. We clean out the closet, we clean out the garage, the shed, underneath the bed, the dirty windows. But I want to think about this morning, when was the last time you or I cleaned out our life? When was the last time we cleaned out our heart and our mind? The scripture tells us that sin is a pollutant and it renders us unclean before the Lord. This morning we're going to talk about four steps that you need to take to clean something out. And you can apply this physically to your spring cleaning, to your closet or your garage. And we certainly want to apply it this morning to our lives. Four steps that we need to take. I want to talk this morning about what the New Testament says about being clean with God. At a time of the year when a lot of folks are thinking about that very thing. What are these four steps? Have you ever seen any of those hoarding programs? I don't think your house looks like this, and I'm not suggesting it does, but this is how bad that it gets. And so we have these hoarding programs where it gets so bad that people have to get professionals to come in, and they build a whole program around it. They got the TV cameras running, and here comes all these people in. How does it get to this point in a person's life where this is going on? You ever thought about that? That doesn't happen in one day. How do you get to that point? In this picture, my favorite thing up here, you can look at this picture and you can think, well, I can see the value of keeping some of that. My favorite thing was over here. This used, some sort of a food item, there's the nutrition facts, just an empty piece of plastic. I mean, I can make an argument for some of this, but that right there, why in the world is that person keeping that? People keep things in their lives, and they absolutely don't need it. And it collects, and it collects, and it collects, and it gets to this problem, and there's an entire program built on helping people who's hoarding things. What does the New Testament teach about us being clean before God? That's what's important. It's great to have clean windows, and it's great to have to be clean underneath the bed and wherever you like to clean, but are we clean with God? Let's look at the four steps that are necessary to do that. The next time you're dusting something or scrubbing something or washing something, I want you to ask yourself, how is my heart today? How is my mind? How is my conscience? Daniel prayed about sin, and Don talked about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's the cleansing that we need to be thinking about most importantly. So let's talk this morning about the four steps that you can take either to clean out your garage or to clean out your heart. And let's look at the biblical principles in the New Testament that teach these things. First of all, you have to be willing to take an inventory. You have to be willing to take stock of what you have. You've got to go around your house and you've got to scan and see what you have. What is going on there? You've got to be willing to look at everything. In that previous picture, I don't think you could walk through the room and not see that. But you've got to take an inventory. You've got to be willing to sit down and look around and see what is going on. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Turn with me to John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, when Jesus was in the upper room with the apostles and he was washing their feet to teach them a lesson in service. And we'll look at a couple of verses there in just a minute. We have to take an inventory. What are my beliefs today? And I'm talking about today, May the 21st. I'm not talking about hypothetical. Right now, as you're sitting there in the pew, what are my beliefs? What are my current habits? What input am I getting from the world? Who are my friends? What places do I go to? What are my actions? Is there any sin in my life right now that is unforgiven? I've got to be willing to seriously take an inventory. In John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, Jesus teaches this principle. He looks around on his disciples. He had been washing their feet, and Peter said, "Well, do my whole body, not my feet only, verse 9, but my hands and my head." Jesus said unto him, "He that is bathed need not to save, but he that is bathed needeth not save to wash his feet." If you got up this morning, Peter, and you bathed, you're fine, but walking through town, you're going to get your feet dirty. And so, in a typical Palestinian setting, without the paved sidewalks and roads and cars like we have today, your feet are going to get dirty. It's going to happen when you go to Ghana. It's going to happen when you go to the Philippines. Your feet are going to get dirty, okay? Even in today's world in some places. And so I'm here to wash your feet. But look at what he says. "But is clean every whit. You are clean, but not all." He's taking an inventory of what's going on here. "You apostles, you're clean, but not all." There's some dirt here. He's taking an inventory. "For he knew him," this is Judas, "that should betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" We've got to take an inventory. We've got to look around and see the truth of what is going on. We've got to face the truth. We've got to see exactly what is going on. We've got to be willing to open the door and look in the closet or look under the bed or wherever it is. We've got to take a clean inventory of what is going on. Because it's still there. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it's still there. If there's dirt under the bed, whether you look there or not, it's still there. And so whether we acknowledge our sin or not, it's still there. And so the first thing we do is we take stock of what is going on in our life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, where this principle is found again with regard to Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. What the Pharisees wanted to do is they wanted to say, "Oh yeah, we're clean. Look at all of these outside things that we do." Luke 18, we go into the temple and pray, and we We read the Law of Moses every Sabbath in the synagogue, Acts chapter 13, and look at all of these things that we do. Look at how clean we are. And Jesus said, oh, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Let's take a little bit closer inventory of what's going on. Verse 25, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup. In other words, on the outside you look really righteous and of the platter, but within they are full from extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup. Oh, you mean there's another part of me that I've got to look at called the inside? Jesus said, yeah. Well, I just want to look at the outside. I just want to look at certain things. No, take a full, complete inventory of what is going on. And when you do that, Jesus said, you're going to find some uncleanness on the inside of you. So cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, a gravestone that's clean. A tomb that's clean. It's white and clean on the outside, which outwardly appears beautiful. And it does if you have something like granite or marble or something like that. Very beautiful. And you go to cemeteries and there's a lot of those things that are very beautiful on the outside with the carvings and everything going on there. Yeah, it's beautiful. But inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So today it would be something like, well, you go to church services on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you take the Lord's Supper and you give, and I saw you praying and I saw you singing a song, but what's going on the inside this morning? So, take inventory. And Paul would put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. So the first thing is to take inventory. Go around looking at what we have, whether physically or spiritually, and start with that. And be willing to look everywhere, Jesus said. You are clean, but not all of you. You are clean, but not all of you. So Judas is going to betray Jesus. He's sitting there as a thief. Jesus would then soon say to him, what thou doest, do quickly. He's up there with the rest of them. But the inventory shows that he's not clean. We've got to seriously take a look at these things that I've just mentioned. And any other things that might come to your mind, what exactly is in our heart and in our mind? And then say to Jesus, you can make me clean. But the second step then is, after we take the inventory, we need to make a decision what it is that we are going to keep and what we're going to throw away or what we're going to donate. There's a decision process that goes on, and the question that comes to mind then is, what is the standard that I'm going to use to make this decision? Well, with physical things around the house, it might be something like this. If it's new, I'm going to keep it. If it's old, I'm going to throw it away. If it's expensive, I'm going to keep it. If it's cheap, I'm going to throw it away. If it's clean, I'm going to keep it. If it's dirty, I'm going to throw it away. If it's new, I'm going to keep it. If it's old, we have some decision-making process. If it's a personal heirloom of mine, I'm going to keep it. But if it's not really personal to me, I can get rid of it. There's going to be some decision process. So how do we decide? When I begin to look at my life and I take an inventory and I see something that's not clean there, how do I decide if I keep it or not? Well, we could use something like I feel and I think and I believe. But what's going to happen with that is, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, if you will. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. If we use that standard, then we'll keep everything. Because what we're going to say is, well, I'm clean, I'm good. what's the decision-making process? What's the standard I'm going to use? Well, let's talk first of all about what we don't want to use, and that is the standard of I'm looking at myself and I'm fine. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but Jehovah weighs the spirits. If you look at the parallel account in Proverbs 21 verse 2, all the ways of man are right in his own eyes, but Jehovah weighs the spirits. When I look at myself, I'm right. I'm clean. I'm fine. So we've got to ask ourselves, well then what is this decision-making process? What standard am I going to use? Well, turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 9. Let's begin to look at the standard that we're going to use. And the standard that we're going to use is not I think and I feel, but the standard that we're going to use is the objective outside of us Word of God. Speaking to the young person, and it would be true with someone who's older as well, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? According to thy word. So the decision-making process is going to be based upon the Word of God. The Word of God. God's Word is going to tell me if I'm clean or unclean. God's Word is going to tell me if I need to keep this or get rid of it. God's Word is that standard. If you use the standard of self or the standard of the world, yourself and the world will say, oh, keep it all, everything's fine. But when we open up our Bible and begin to read and study and hear the New Testament gospel, we hear that this is sin, this is uncleanness, this is wrong. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Reggie read this in our men's group meeting this morning during the break. Turn with me to John 15. We learn what the standard is by which we decide what we need to keep and what we need to get rid of. And it's the Word of God. Jesus using the figure of He is the vine, the source of life, and His disciples are branches bearing fruit. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, He cleanses it. Your version might say He prunes it, which is good, that it might bear more fruit. What is that? The older versions that say He cleanses it. Does He get out there with some soap and water and He takes a branch and He's rubbing on the soap and water to cleanse it? No. It's the idea of pruning. You're cutting off the old dead material so that it can grow and live. You're getting rid of what doesn't belong there. I've been doing that over the past few weeks with my roses. When they came up this year, there was a lot of dead branches and dead thorns and dead leaves, and I'm cutting all of that off so that I can get beautiful roses. You do that with plants and trees and other kinds of things. And young people, if you want to learn how to do that, catch me after services. I got about 3 or 4 more rose bushes I need to do. You can come over to the house. I'll show you how to do that. You'll learn how to do that. It's something great to learn. Get outside. Enjoy the sunshine, fresh air. Learn something different. But you've got to cut off that old stuff. And so Jesus is talking about that because when the nutrients and the life and the energy is coming up from the roots into the plant, it doesn't need to go to that which is dead. You're robbing the plant of those nutrients and life, and so you cut off all that dead stuff so that it goes only to the living part and the flowers and so forth. You got to get rid of something. Well, then what is the standard? Look at the very next verse. Already you are clean, underscore your Bible, because of the word which I have spoken unto you. It's Jesus' words that made them clean. Not I think and I feel. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 41. The standard that we're going to use is the Word of God. I may have said John, Luke chapter 11 and verse 41. Luke 11, 41. Jesus was invited to eat with some Pharisees. We're going to start with Luke 11:37. When he comes in, he sits down, starts eating, and This guy didn't bathe before he started eating. We got a problem here. It's similar to Matthew 23. They made sure that the outside was clean. Oh, we better wash our hands. That's really important. But their heart was not right with God. So look at what we see here, that a Pharisee asked him, Jesus, to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first bathed himself before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now you, the Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but your inward part is full of extortion and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he that made the outside make the inside also? Now look at this. He's going to give them a standard by which they are to use. But give for alms, charity, helping others, those things which are within, coming from your heart. And look at this. Behold, all things are clean unto you. What is he teaching there? He's saying, if you guys really want to be clean, you need to be people from your heart you're giving to others. They weren't doing that. They were selfish. They were greedy. He mentions extortion and excess. But when they came in and had a meal, oh, we better make sure our hands are clean. Jesus said, if you people want to be clean, give alms to people from your heart, from the inside out. Oh, we don't want to do that. We just want to make sure our hands are clean. Do you notice that Jesus is giving them a standard? I'm telling you that cleanliness is based upon a different standard, and that is whether or not you will be generous in giving or not. That wasn't their only problem. That's the problem he wants to address at this time. In fact, he goes on to talk about other problems in verse 42 and following. But he says, if you people want to be clean, you're marveling that I didn't wash my hands and other things. I'll tell you how to be clean. Give alms from within. In other words, the standard is different than what you think it is. The second thing we have to do is turn to God's Word and use it to decide what we're going to keep and what we're going to get rid of. Number three, it doesn't matter if we take an inventory, and it doesn't matter if we make a decision. It's not going to get clean until there has been an actual purging and getting rid of it. Knowing what I need to let go and letting go are two different things. That's why that picture that you saw earlier, I'm sure the person's going, I need to let it go. Okay. But it's not being let go. So we've actually got to do the purging process. It's not going to get up and move out on its own. We can talk about it. We can think about it. We can muse about it. We can whatever, but it's not going to get out until we get it out. So we want to move. It starts with inventory and it starts with decision making. But then we want to move to the process of actually getting it out. And that is the hard process, because we have a tendency to want to just hold on to it. And it's true in the spiritual realm. Now, why? You can explore why people hold on to things. You can explore that, and there's some good in that. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe I don't want to get up and physically get this stuff out. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's comforting to have things. Maybe we feel safe and comfortable and assured in some way. Maybe it's some mental thing where it's like taking a security blanket away from a baby or something. There's something going on. Well, whatever it is, people are holding on to things, and people are holding on to sin and uncleanness. So, what does the sinner need to do? Well, turn with me to Acts 15 and verse 9. When Peter was talking to those in Jerusalem, he's thinking back and preaching about what happened back in Acts chapter 10 and 11 with the household of Cornelius, when he was preaching to the household of Cornelius. And he said that when God saved the household of Cornelius back in Acts chapter 10, he cleansed their hearts. He cleansed their hearts by faith. I'm going to have a faith that gets up and that is active and obedient. And when you read the end of Acts chapter 10, when Peter commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized, they were baptized. And so Acts 15:9, when he cleansed their hearts by faith, it was hearing Peter's message, believing it, and being baptized. Which leads me to my next verse. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. There's been no cleansing until you actually purge it and get rid of it. And with regard to the person who's not a Christian yet, they need to believe the gospel and they need to be baptized into Christ. Jesus loved the church that he might sanctify it, set it apart, cleanse it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. Underscore that in your Bible. You're not clean until you've been washed with the waters of baptism. You're not clean. You might think you're clean, you might feel you're clean, but you're not. And so Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for it, but we have to do our part. And the cleansing comes when we're washed with water with the word. We're baptized into Christ and we've been obedient to the words. It's the same thing as John 3:3-5. Born of water, baptism, and the Spirit. The words of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. John 3:5 is the same as Ephesians 5:26, and it's the same as Titus 3:5. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. All three of those verses are the same thing. Obedience to the word culminating in baptism. I've taken an inventory of my life, and there's some uncleanness there, and I've made the decision that that's unclean based upon not what I feel, but on the Word of God. Now I've got to get up and get down in that water and come up out of that water so that I can be cleansed. And it's the same as Naaman in 2 Kings 5, verses 10 through 14. When he was told to dip in the Jordan River, the first thing the text says was he got wroth and he went away. He was mad. I don't want to do that. But when he did it, the text says he was clean. He was clean. Now we can argue with baptism. We can say it's not necessary. It's not for me. We can do all of that that Naaman did. But at the end of the day, we're not clean until we wash. And for us today, it's baptism. And in Hebrews chapter 9:14, and in Hebrews chapter 10:22, we've had our consciences cleansed. Our conscience is cleansed. We don't have to go home saying, I still have that lie. That lie, which is a sin, I still have that on my conscience. It can be wiped clean. Or whatever the sin is. We can have our consciences cleansed from dead works and that way of the life of sin that was in the past. But we have to obey the gospel and we have to be baptized. And for the erring saint, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We've got to get that sin out of our lives as well. We've got to get rid of that worldliness that is around us. There are Christians that need to be cleansed, and Corinth was having this problem where there was sin in the church and among the members. And Paul has to write to them, come out from among them, the worldliness that is around you. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Christian has to take inventory. The Christian has to make decisions based upon the Word of God. The Christian has to purge. Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 21. Apparently, when Paul wrote this letter, there was sin among some of the members, and he's concerned that when he gets there, they will not have gotten that out of their lives, because some people, some Christians, don't want to purge it. They're holding on to it, just like that hoarder picture, for whatever reason. We're holding on to it. Is it laziness that we don't want to get rid of it? Is it comforting to us to keep it around? Does it make us feel good? Whatever it is, we're keeping it around. And Paul says, you need to cleanse yourself from all defilement of flesh and spirit. He's talking to Christians. And he's concerned in chapter 12 that when he comes, verse 20, for I fear lest by any means when I come, I should find you not such as I would. Well, what would be going on? And should myself be found of you such as you would not, lest by any means there be, this is among Christians, when I come, I'm concerned, I'm going to see strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. Lest again when I come, my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them that have sinned hitherto, and repented not of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they committed. They are not purging the sin out of their lives. And Paul is saying, I don't want to come and find you in that state. So there actually has to be the purging. Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James is talking to Christians. And are they still coming to the assembly? Yes. In chapter 2, verses 1 and following, these Christians are still coming to the assembly. But among them, chapter 4, 1 and following, there's fighting, there's carnal pleasures, killing, coveting, there's war between them, they're spiritually adulterous, they have friendships with the world that are causing them to be worldly, chapter 4, verse 4. And James has to say in verse 8, cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking to brethren. So the lesson is for us as well, if there is uncleanness in us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Brethren, purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm still coming to the assembly, chapter 2. And so my mind is, I got to get down there and worship the Lord. But my mind, chapter 4 and verse 4, is also on worldliness. And it has allowed sin to come into my life. Oh, I'm still going to church. I got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And James says, you need to cleanse your hands. So even as brethren, we need to take that into consideration. How was it that it was in their life? Look at verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. The first problem was they didn't think it was all that bad. Whatever the sin was that was in their life, they were laughing about it. Or they were positive about it. Oh, it's all fine. And James says, no, you need to be mourning over what is going on. And then the second problem is found in verse 10. They had gotten a little pride in their lives, so they needed to humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. So the third thing is purging. And then last, the fourth step is you're going to have to repeat at some point. Because next spring, the windows are going to be dirty again. And a year from now, the closet and underneath the bed and the garage and the shed and stuff has a way of filling up again. And so it comes back. And if and when it does, notice I said if, it doesn't necessarily have to come back. But if and when it does, then we need to repeat the process. I don't know in my lifetime where I've ever cleaned something and then you don't have to ever clean it again. That'd be kind of nice. The dirt and the clutter will come back. Turn with me to Luke 11 and verse 26. Jesus, after he was rebuked by the Pharisees, oh, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub. Jesus gives three logical arguments as to why that's not true. And then he makes this point. There's a lot of things here that would be nice to talk about this morning, but we need to wrap it up. The unclean spirit, Luke 11:24. When he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none, he says, I will turn back unto my house whence I came. And when he has come, he finds it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man has become worse than the first. In Matthew's account in chapter 12, Jesus is applying this to the Pharisees. You people claim to be clean, but you're actually full, like this house that was clean, it's now full again of evil spirits. So we clean out a space. Does this happen at home? You clean out a space, and then what happens? You fill in the space with stuff. I do that all the time. I get a spot, I get the workbench cleaned off. About 3 weeks later, the workbench is all full again. And that's not Sherry's fault, that's my fault. I'm the one putting this stuff on the work. I'm not blaming her. We clean out a spot, and then that void and that vacuum gets filled, and it needs to get filled with good and righteousness and holiness and good works. But when it doesn't, then it gets filled with evil again, and sometimes it gets worse. So when we get the cleansing out, we're baptized into Christ. Or as an erring Christian, 1 John 1:7-9, as an erring Christian, we repent and we pray. John says the blood of Jesus cleanses us. When we get rid of that sin, fill it with good. If not, it's going to come back and you've got to repeat the process. So whatever it is that is unclean, get rid of that. For the sinner, baptism. For us, repentance and prayer. And when it's cleansed, fill it with good immediately so that the clutter and the dirt cannot come back in. We're studying in 2 Peter. We just started this morning. Turn with me to chapter 1. We're coming down to verse 9 in our study and what we call the Christian graces. And these things are to be added in a Christian's life. But if we don't keep working on these things and keep adding these things from verses 5 through 8, what's going to happen is we're going to be blind. The word there is myopia, nearsightedness. We don't see the big picture, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Can you still think back on the day that you were baptized? I can remember that in my mind. I remember the church building, the setting and everything. Can you remember the cleansing from your old sins? But we've got to keep being faithful and adding to our faith and our knowledge these practical daily Christian things. Otherwise, we're going to get to the point where we're spiritually nearsighted. And we've forgotten the cleansing from our old sins, and so we're just living any way we want. It's not a big deal to us. It was a big deal when we went down into the waters of baptism. But I've forgotten all about that. We don't want to get to that point where we're spiritually nearsighted. And we can't see the big picture of living for Christ faithfully each and every day and pressing forward onto this eternal kingdom that's out in front. We don't want to get so spiritually nearsighted that we've forgotten the past and where we're headed to this eternal kingdom. We're just nearsighted. We don't want that. And so Peter encourages growth. You can make me clean. That's what the leper said. If you will, and Jesus said, I will, and that's true right now. Jesus wills you to be clean. The text also said that Jesus touched him. That's impressive. Everybody's staying away from a leper. And really, by law, Leviticus 13 and 14, that's understandable. But the text says he stretched forth his hand and touched him. I will. Be thou made clean. He stands ready this morning to cleanse you. Are we like this leper that is willing to take the steps? We've got to take the inventory. We've got to make the decision. We've got to do the actual purging. And then if and when, we've got to repeat that process over and over again. As we live through life so that we can stay clean. Think about this man who was so joyful, the change in his life to be back and to be in the company of others, maybe go back to work, do all kinds of things, being clean. And the new life that we have, if we'll just simply let Jesus cleanse us. Let's take these steps and walk out clean and pure. That's what we want for all of us this morning, today and this week. Let's all walk out clean. If we can help you do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?